Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity.
Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization.
Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future. It's November 3rd, 2015. Oh my gosh, can't believe it. Well, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're coming to you live from Looper Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we invited you into our home tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions. Oh, sprinkled with a little laughter, some music, and always, if we're talking with Errol, a few surprises.
We like surprises. Our show is brought to you by Go Raw. And we hope you've gone out and really given Go Raw Foods a try. And I'm sure you enjoyed them if you did. And you're feeling a lot better because you're not eating that junk fried, greasy sugar. You can't even eat bacon now. You know that?
I know.
Time Magazine. Bacon. Whoever thought bacon would be the man of the year on Time Magazine? But it did. It showed up this week. It's all those nitrates. And here I always thought nitrates were like not really good, but they sure added some zest to the bacon, didn't they?
I don't know. I've never eaten nitrate-free bacon to know the difference.
Well, a lot of people had nitrate bacon, and I can tell you for a fact, this is in the past, every one of them died. 1900.
Well, that didn't work for me, but most things work for me.
Uh-huh. Well, what does work for you?
What works for me is the moment.
This moment? You mean when we say that the focus for tonight's program is...
It works for me.
Works for me.
Actually, I think you left out the it when you came up with it.
I didn't let the it out. The it got away like a little mouse. It just kind of jumped off the sentence, dropped down to the floor, and scattered outside and hooked itself onto another it-needing sentence. Nerve!
That's quite silly, mister. But it works for me.
Oh, good. So you had some remarks?
I was just thinking about things that work for me and when they don't. When I work at the computer and it works and it does everything it says it's supposed to do, everything flows. I get so much done and then all of a sudden it doesn't work. Like it does something totally erratic. Why are you doing this? And it takes such a long time to get back to where it was. And I don't know how to just go with this erraticism that is happening and deal with it because it frustrates me. I want it to be different. So I realize the things that work for me, I agree with. And the things that don't work with me frustrate me because I don't want them to be that way. I disagree with them.
All of that except for about 20% of it works for me. The part that often doesn't work for me is when I'm in her space and she's going through an attack of this frustration and I happen to be in that area. Now, in the past, Rochelle has said that I can walk in the room and I take up a lot of space and if I'm in a bad mood, there's like a cloud walks into the mood.
Oh, but, not a cloud, a dark cloud.
Dark cloud. But my little darling here, I have to say equally intense for those of you who know Rochelle, when she has a fit of frustration, it takes up, well, it takes up the whole block.
Does not take up the whole block.
See, there's an example of exactly.
It takes up half the block.
All right. Okay, I'll take half the block for 300. I was thinking about work and working and the whole phenomenon of working. And I was reminded of a fabulous book by Studs Terkel. Oh. I read many years ago, and as a matter of fact, they made a Broadway musical out of it called Working. Studs Terkel, he was a very cool guy. He was so urbane and bright and hip. He was so Chicago, which is where he was from. These are some quotes from Studs about work. Work is about a search for daily meaning as well as daily bread, for recognition as well as cash, for astonishment rather than torpor. In short, for a sort of life rather than a Monday through Friday sort of dying.
It works for me. That's neat. I like that.
It works for me in the sense that I can feel the truth in it. I can almost imagine the different peoples right now all over the world at work, all day, every day.
I mean, we're at work. This is our work.
It's interesting, in our culture, we made work an ethic, the work ethic. And I'm not sure that works for me, that work qualifies in the ethics category. What do you think?
Well, I think the way they use it is that someone has a work ethic, which means that they have a sense of work that has to do with responsibility and taking charge and getting it done. That's an ethic, being responsible and all those things that they put into their work. So that's their work ethic. And they enjoy doing what they do, which is another work ethic.
Well, that works for me.
Good.
Just hearing you say it like that. Ethic. It's a set of moral principles. Thank you for the dictionary. What was his name? Johnson?
No, I think that was the Band-Aids.
No, the dictionary guy in the 18th century.
Oh.
It's a set of moral principles, especially ones relating to or affirming a specified group, field, or form of conduct. Wow. Set of moral principles, especially ones relating to or affirming a specific group, field, or form of conduct. A field, that challenged me. The whole idea of a moral field as a set of conduct in terms of working. But I'd like to go at the subject and start off and get really basic with one person's saying of what works for them.
Never owned a brand new car, I never worked in a white collar. I never held a woman longer than I held one single dollar. Never went out chasing rainbows, cause I can't be that much to it. Even if I found my pot of gold, I'd probably piss right through it. I can't remember ever wanting for 1 second of my life. Even if I did, it cost too much to ever pay the price. I don't dance out on the dark side, ain't no secrets I can tell. So you don't have to say a prayer for me, I just said one for myself. I'm living my life under my turn. I'm calling the shots as far as I can see. I don't owe nobody nothing, I don't answer to a soul, might not work for you. But it works for me. I've been bent and bruised and broken and flat busted once or twice. I brought most of it upon myself, but I never compromised. My pride's too hard to swallow, so I've chewed a lot of it. Mild-mannered and soft-hearted and hard-headed as you get. I live out on the back roads where I walk my country mile. And if it's so good in the city, why don't anybody smile? Ah, the traffic's always heavy and that air ain't fit to breathe. I ain't saying that it's wrong for you, it just don't make sense to me. I'm living my life under my terms. I'm calling the shots as far as I can see. I don't owe nobody nothing, I don't answer to a soul. It might not work for you, it might not work for you, but it works for me.
Are we back?
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, that was what they call technical difficulties. And on one level, it doesn't work for me. On the other hand, the way it does work for me is that I'm learning, after X number of years living, that encountering difficulty and challenge, things that don't work, gets you to be creative.
Gets you going to be creative. Doesn't do that to everybody.
Well, you got to make it work if it gets bad enough. This is a quote from Polaroid co-founder Edwin H. Land. He said, every creative act is a sudden cessation of stupidity.
Cessation of stupidity.
Yeah. Does that work for you?
I guess. Not so sure about that. I think the things that work for me have to do with being inspired works for me. Anchoring me to the moment works for me. Laughter works for me. Being intimate with somebody, having them share themselves fully, that really works for me. I guess I could make pages and pages of things that work for me.
Some of those pages, by the way, don't, because I know in advance that they won't work for me.
I don't operate out of what works for me.
Well, that's what I felt that Toby Keith was singing about in his song. I liked it. You know, sometimes country music, it's got a rhythm and a beat, and it's got some good lyrics. Toby Keith. Yeah. I'm living my life under my terms. I'm calling the shots as far as I can see. I don't know. Nobody, nothing. I don't answer to a soul. Might not work for you, but it works for me.
I like that.
It makes me want to put on Frank Sinatra singing, I've Got to Be Me, or whatever he's saying. Make it all about me. That's why I became a mime. And people don't know, why'd you become a mime? Well, if you look at how mime is spelled, it's spelled me, me.
We're not talking about it being absorbed with me. We're talking about having it work for me.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I get the two confused.
Works for me.
You know, we've got Barney. You here tonight? Yeah, I'm here. Of course I'm here. Where am I going to be? I got this time I want to spend with you all year. Well, come on in. Have a seat. You know, our topic tonight is works for me. Got any hits on that? Yeah, that works for me. I can make that work. You can make anything work. I mean, really, if you think about it, things happen. And then it says, okay, make it work. Basically, that's life. That's the whole gist of it, all summed up. Things happen, make it work. And what does that mean, make it work? Well, you want to make it work into something that's more complementary. There's a greater flow between you and it. You're having a good time. You're in the party. The party, and it's slick, and it's juicy, and there's back and forth, and it's delicious. That works, you know. And I think that's why people like that a lot. That's why people go after that, the experience of, you know, the juicy back and forth.
We have a mutual friend, Taya. She uses juicy a lot. And if she listens to this program, Taya, hello. I love your juiciness.
Taya is very juicy. I knew Taya, if it's the same Taya I'm thinking about, but I knew her back when she and her fella, they were from Brooklyn. And, you know, I myself did not live in Brooklyn, but I visited often enough to get a little touch of his accent, if that's what you're picking up. And especially over there where we had there that famous Coney Island, where you go up in those parachutes. And, you know, this is back then. Boy, you go up in those parachutes, and then all of a sudden, down is a long way away. Before you got on the parachute, down was nearby. It was like right there. You could touch it.
It works for me.
But then they pull you up, 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 and then they say, okay, we're going to drop you.
Now that doesn't work for me.
No. This is long before the bungee cord. Now, that takes a particular kind of personality. I'll just say one more remark here, Rochelle, and that is, everything gives you an opportunity to ask the question, has this worked for me? It worked for my mother. Maybe it worked for my father and my conditioning and my past regrets. Worked for all of them. But does it work for me now? You know what I'm saying? Like you regret something. You're holding on to grievances. And you really have to change that every moment. What was the guy your master, Jewish fellow? It was related to that other Joshua. I forgot his full name. Schwartz. It had to be Schwartz because everyone was Schwartz.
Barney, you're really silly.
No, let me just say one more thing, that you work and then you find, is this workable? Is this making me feel better about reality and myself and others and life and embracing it and enhancing it even a little, not just taking from it, but really giving something really meaningful to it?
There are so many ways that things work for somebody and don't work for somebody else. Sometimes they're really subtle. And I always feel that if people got down to the essence of things, the things that don't work for them, they would find that they work for them. We don't go far enough when we have a moment of, oh, it's not working and it's frustrating and all that. We don't give ourselves enough time to get to the thing about it that does work.
You have to stay with it. The metaphor I have is when I directed a show, and directing a play, story, characters, people happening on a stage in an auditorium. And the goal of the director, my job, was to make it seem real and compelling and suck the audience into this fantasy of the drama and the song and the art of that moment. And in order to do that, what made it work, because you're always working with something that doesn't work from your first rehearsal compared to where you want it to go, that's not working. Now we got to start working. You have these lines, and then you have this movement, and you have the actors learning to enter into or allow the character to enter into them, or at least their notion of the character. You have to really pay attention in that context. Have an eye on yourself. Is this working? As you witness yourself in your goal to make the play congeal into a living organism.
Works for me. I like living organisms because I'm one.
You are.
No. I'm a living organism. I'm very aware our time here at Lupin, you know, with such a diverse group of human beings who live here, which is sometimes frustrating because what works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else. But getting to that place where it works for all of us, that is a challenge sometimes. How does it work for both of us, not just me or you, when you're in relationship?
That works for me sometimes. Just a minute. But before I go to that, just a minute, hold that thought. When the scene doesn't work as a director, you have to just stay with it. You can't allow yourself to be repelled by the unworkiness of it. In other words, it's chaotic. It's not gelling with itself. It's fighting itself. And you have to get the scene to work, to be truthful, where it's not fighting itself, where it is what it is, and it's all joined and it comes alive. But in order to do that, you can't be put off by it. You have to hold it. You can't resist it.
Works for me.
Works for me, too. To be able to approach life that way is the practice. Instead of identifying with the guy who gets sucked into the pain or the trouble or the suffering or whatever is annoying him that makes it go, but that doesn't work for me. Or worse to that effect.
Well, turning what doesn't work for you into making it work for you, which is the intention, people who want to live in love rather than fear. You know, how do we make it work? You have to come into union with it. Like you said, if you're in repulsion, you can't do anything with it. So you have to join it. You have to come into union with it. And in that union, new things can happen. Creation takes place. Oh, we create all sorts of things that do work. That's the fun part. Sometimes I meet people, you know, when you're in the hospitality business, people come in and they're not lovable. And to continue to love them, to make it work for me, that I can really be there for them, I have to go past a whole lot of stuff.
Well, you have to go past your old conditioning and your knee-jerk perceptual reaction based upon the past, because it's all based upon the past. That's why we've harped on this again, but the place to begin is with the beginner's mind, to be in a place of innocence. That's really where we got to go.
Waking up to see that everything is okay. The first time in my life and now it's so great. Slowing down, I look around and I'm so amazed. I think about the little things that make life great. I wouldn't change a thing about it. This is the best feeling. This innocence is brilliant. I hope that it will stay just don't go.
Innocence by Avril Lavigne, L-A-V-I-G-N-E. I feel like such a doofus, and you're probably out there thinking the same thing. You know, why doesn't he learn to pronounce these people's names before he sticks them on the radio? It's a good point, but it doesn't work for me. It's all I can do, and when I dig into this music, which is an amazing phenomenon, I just let myself be led, and I wander around in the world of songs and vocalists and have discovered Avril. A lot of people know these people, and they're famous.
Works for me, because you always look so happy when you're doing this. In truth, you seem very satisfied with it, which is nice, because we get to be recipients of your hard work.
Thank you. And I would like to say something about it. This is Professor Hinesberger. People just call me Schnitzel. Thank you for letting me just jump in here and talk about what works for me, because what works for me is not so much necessarily what people are working for them, because what works for me is when we encounter one another in any moment, we are able to stop and go, hey, that's a mensch. You know what a mensch is? A German word. It means someone of high regard, someone that is a good person to know. They are like in your life to make a difference. And you can be a mensch. Yeah. Jawohl.
Works for me, but isn't it a male? What would be the female equivalent of mensch?
We used to use the word hot dame, but that wasn't so much popular anymore, because there was mensches and hot dames.
Oh, no. I don't want to listen to this.
It didn't feel like it was under a right, accurate way to say what we're talking about. Of course, women can be the mensches. And so we had Mr. and Mitch's Mentions.
Very silly. All right. Works for me.
As long as it works for you, that works for me, because I wouldn't have said it if it didn't work for me. It would have worked for someone else who's not here. And then I'd have to go see him to see if it works for me before I could say it on his behalf.
That was a lot.
You think that's hard for you? I have to live inside the mind that comes up with that.
I will tell you something right now. The epicenter of our energy, where we find our truth, where we find what works for us. Something may work for you just because it gives you pleasure, but something that works for you, that helps you grow, that moves you forward, that invigorates your soul, that kind of working for you is so incredible. Sometimes you're not aware of it when it begins its work. But when the finished working, realize what it's like.
Oh. Is that where they came up with, oh, it's a work in progress?
Maybe. Works for me.
I think it's all a work in progress.
Exactly.
I want to share something that I may have shared on the show before, but it meant so much to me. It really worked for me, this perspective. Among the many spiritual books that have influenced me, the Arantia book is certainly one of them. I read a line that says, the fact that there is progress and order in the universe should prove, I think they use the word prove, that there's a creative mind behind it. That's a big concept to bite off. First of all, that there's progress and order.
You'd have to actually believe that. because some people think it's chaotic and totally stupid. I'm serious. People who are suffering and they don't see an intelligent, creative consciousness going on.
Exactly. But the thing I asked myself, what is that that we're realizing and shooting for in that moment of creative consciousness? It's the awareness of what is most present to us in that moment. It's that innocence. And innocence, I realize, because the one, the source, the all-being awareness happening simultaneously through all existence in circular simultaneity, and for dessert.
Works for me. Dessert.
I love that term, circular simultaneity. But I asked myself the question, what is progress? Your answer was, because it's progress and order in life that says there is a creative mind behind it. So I asked myself, how would you determine progress? That implies you have some kind of continuum, and X is less progressive than Y. There's a whole movement of people right now politically identify themselves as the progressives, but probably a lot of the people now who they're progressed from were progressives when they got going.
Oh.
Right?
I guess.
Well, they progressed into a new concept.
Progression works for me.
My point in all of this, well, what's the criteria for progress? What would make something more, let's say, advanced or improved upon? Progress. And what I came up with was to be less and less determined. Hold on, you probably need to kind of buckle in here because I'm going to throw a whirlwind of a word at you, okay? You're not controlled by antecedent causation. Hold on, you're safe. It's okay. Relax. You're okay. You're safe. Keep breathing. Yes. Antecedent causation. Because it's got your ass, by and large. Everything we do, like the Pac-Man, he's going, okay, antecedent causation, biting your ass, get going, do this, do this, do that, do that, have an impulse, have this, have a thought. I'm causing everything that you're going. What's behind you? Your biology, your conditioning, your history, everything. I'm antecedent causation causing all of that the way it is. As we begin to circle around that and we look antecedent causation in the eye and we say to antecedent causation, even though it's got two barrels pointed at us, but I get to make it up. I don't have to be driven by you anymore. I am less and less an effect in existence of prior forces. I am the cause now. I am the one who wills and creates and determines. In essence, I realize I am the very God that is all of that in a very particular piece, as is everything else, with a very particular perspective that allows the all-knowing God, even that God, to be, if it were possible, surprised.
Well, what works for me is that sense that this antecedent causation, you know, is very important. It's important because it creates the now. And you can move from the now, but wherever you move from the now, you're going to have antecedent causation with you.
Well, that works for me.
And you can become different each moment as a result of that. And therefore, it seems like you're starting anew, but you're really moving from where you were to another place. So you're never disconnected from antecedent causation.
So if not now, when?
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. Although there'll be a struggle, we'll make the change we can. If not now, if not now. now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment, place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I may never see the promised land. And yet we'll take the journey, we'll walk it hand in hand. If not now, tell me when. We'll work it till it's done. Every daughter, every son, and every soul that's ever longed for something better. We'll take a change of heart for this to mend. It will take a change of heart for this to mend. But miracles do happen, every shining now and then. If not now, tell me when. If not now,
you should see Rochelle when these technical glitches go on.
No, because it goes into my earphones, and it just makes my whole head crazy. I mean, it's really, really.
So that doesn't work for you?
No, but her song worked for me.
Wasn't that something?
Who was sang it?
Carrie Newcomer. She's right up there for me with Kate Wolf. I mean, she brings that deep, soulful awareness in and through the music, and we're going to hear more from her on this show. You betcha.
Oh, good. That was beautiful. What worked for me so well is the lyric of the sense of now. I'm becoming more and more aware for myself. If not now, when? If I want to make it different, I have to change. I have to change. I can't keep expecting the world to change. The world is not going to change because it's too much of a behemoth. But I'm little me here. I can change. And by doing so, something in the world changes. But I have to concentrate on that. I can mend things as I change, because if something doesn't work, you can change it. Because you change it by changing yourself. Your relationship to it changes, and therefore it changes.
Works for me.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It works so for me. I want to call our attention to one of her lyrics, where she says, it'll take a change of heart for this to mend. Well, sure, it'll take a change. I'm sorry the interruption now, Errol, but I heard that phrase and I was so, like, thinking that's such an important thing there that, I had to catch my breath because I've been running up the block as soon as I heard it. I was listening to the radio in there. But I'm here now, and I want to talk about what the change of heart you think it might mean. You know, this is Father O'Malley there. We're always working on changing my heart. And you think about, well, what is the heart? I mean, what is that thing that you're talking about when you say the heart? The heart has to change. Well, you're talking more about the atrials and the ventricles, aren't you? No?
No.
Now, by the way, I have an atrial flutter, they call it. And it's when the heart kind of pumps up about 4 or 5 times faster than it's supposed to. Well, that gets your attention. It's hard to walk. It's hard to breathe. It reminds you of how important the breath is. But back to the heart. So what is the heart? You really can't describe the heart. You feel it, you know it when you hear it and when you see it and when you sense it and when you love it. That's how you know it. It's the part that you have to pay attention to. That combines, what do I want to say there? That combines the inner drive toward greater joyousness. Yes, that's part of the heart. That's one of the atriums, or whatever they're called there. It combines that with what you extract from the world that resonates with that direct energy that's seeking to expand and love and become more inclusive of the whole of life. That's the heart. And it's good to consult in with the heart and change the heart. So what that means is, instead of letting bitterness or grievance or unforgiveness be at the heart of your perceptions and your actions, well, you change what you want to be putting into the heart and put forgiveness and gratitude and what you say a little earlier there, a little bit of innocence will do. Yeah, that's how you change your heart. And this is Father O'Malley, always happy to share a perspective with you.
Works for me.
Really?
Well, yeah, because that's what we were talking about, and it was nice to have him agree, because I feel that way. Absolutely. Works for me. We have to change, and our hearts are not physical.
It's a energy, I want to say, like a constellation that exists, that it's our access point. When we drop into our heart, we're also going to like the center of a wheel, so that we're in touch with all the spokes in the wheel. We're in touch with everything all the time. And there is that level of existence that is available to us. Would you say so, Professor?
Oh, yes, delighted. Of course I'd say so. Yes, that presence is always with you all the time. And when you turn into the heart, well, what you turn into is to the very center of your being. And the way I like to put it is the center of God's turning is the heart. The very beneficence of all reality that permeates everything all the time, that causes life to exist, suddenly triggers this progress we're talking about. All of that seems to happen quite naturally if we'll learn to actually stop and listen to the heart. It means that you have to actually stop your mental shenanigans and let them go off and play with themselves for a while and just get still and see what they're with the heart. See what's doing, if you will, underneath the hood, the heart. That works for me. I could have said the same thing. That really worked. I love that.
Works for me.
So back on it. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We're sponsored by Go Raw. Food that's great for you, and you can get it at what we say, Costco and even Safeway and
Whole Foods.
Yeah. And what we're doing here tonight is looking at the question of what works for me. So I'm going to give you, listener, an opportunity to just stop and ask yourself, however you want to ask yourself the question, what works for me? And what was the first thing that came to mind? That, to me, would be interesting to know. Guy comes up to you on the street. He interviews this guy. The guy's name is Max, and Max is Italian. And he says, Mac, what works for you? Max. And Max says, because I'm a chef. Mangiare Linguini is my name, but for short, they call me Max. But I like to make a food that works. The food that works is the food that looks good and the presentations are good. Of course, that's a bonus. But the main thing is the food, like it tastes good. And it's like, especially when you prepare the pasta, because a lot of people want to bring other pasta into the present. You have to know how to cook up the pasta into the present. Not just everybody can just make a pasta up like that. They're going to have a terrible future, which is what are people going to eat when they eat the pasta you made? You got to turn it into something that people want to eat, not the pasta that was still sticking to the ceiling. People have things about them that they don't like, and they stick it on their pasta, and then they carry the pasta into the present. Everything's not working like that so good.
Okay, Max. Works for me.
Well, thanks, Max. Thanks for letting us have that little moment with you. Speaking of works for me, here's another perspective that I thought is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Too good at wasting time, and I know life is unpredictable, just never know what I will find. Am I gonna stay? Oh no. Am I gonna leave? I don't think so. I guess it can't define me as that kind of guy. Maybe
it's a big mistake, but maybe that's a chance that I'll take. You say I don't know what I want, but it worked out just fine. You said it never could be done, but it worked out just fine. You can't say anything at all, but it worked out just fine. If it works for me, and it works for me, if it works for me, then it works for me. I can't forget the things you said. Your words keep running through my head. And I know just trying to help me out. Thanks, but I follow my heart instead. Am I gonna stay? Oh no. Am I gonna leave? I don't think so. I can't decide between the left side or the right. Maybe it's a big mistake, but maybe that's a chance that I'll take. Oh yeah. You say I don't know what I want, but it worked out just fine. If it works for me, there were days when the song cannot be found. There were days when my voice will make no sound for me. For me. But I don't worry about where I'm going, cause I know just where I want to be. And it's time for you to see. You say I don't know what I want, but it worked out just fine. It works for me. And it works for me.
That was Dave Archuleta, and it sounded like that was a very personal thing that he broke out. It worked out for him. The message I got from the song was that people tried to talk him out of it. Like when I was like 19 or whenever, 20, and I had the opportunity to go to this dance theater camp in Colorado, and my brother-in-law was putting a lot of pressure on me to work with my parents in their store because they needed me, and I had to make a decision whether I was going to do that. I rather suspect this fellow felt the same and set out as an artist into the world, and we were lucky. We got to do our art. I'm very grateful. Works for me. I mean, yeah, I could complain about the parts that I didn't like, but the fact is that I get to make a lot of art in this lifetime, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
Works for me that that happened for you.
It does. Yeah.
When people share from their heart, which is for me the center of their being, where love exists, for me love means that there's creativity, there's peace, there's union. There's no separation. There's no resistance. There's no fear in love. And when you come from that place of love, which to me is the heart, everything is possible. It works for me.
Speaking of works for me, Rochelle has performed this piece in our different shows many times, and I would love to ask her to read it. A poem that I wrote, a little piece of my creation, and I think Rochelle does a wonderful job of interpreting it. So can we hear it for Rochelle? It's called Celebration.
I am willing. Really. In spite of what I look like, to step out into you. Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo. So there's this form. So what? Unless we stand in the light, we couldn't have shadows anyway. So who do you think you are, huh? Some mistake? Is that what you think? Some dent in matter? Just happening to think in textures? Well, I saw you. Peeking outside yourself. Oh, you thought you could elude me with your gray smile and coiffured hair, manicured to mediocrity. but I don't believe it. Not for a minute. Because, you see, I saw you looking at me. That's right. Oh, you didn't think I'd notice. But, you see, I figure when someone stops to look at me, they must be there. And you know what? When I saw you looking at me, I felt good about myself. I felt terrific. So what does that make you? Some cheap imitation person? Some synthetic lover? Uh-uh. 'Cause if beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and you saw me looking beautiful, well, pretty neat things must be going on in your eyeballs. And if that's the case, here's looking at you.
Works for me.
Works for me.
What that gives me is a sense of what works for me is what draws life into greater and greater agreement with itself, or at least the parts of itself that I'm in touch with, and specifically and certainly including myself and the selves that I connect with. And I think the longing, what works for me, is to share at that, I want to say, quintessential level of being, where being is as pure as it can be. It's like pure vein of silver, and somehow you are riding that silver into each other's core, which is the silver, and it's creating this silverized thing, which is the soul inside you. That
works for me.
I know it works for you. I've seen you. You know, sometimes when you're in the bathroom, you think I'm not looking. Huh?
Oh, Errol. I just got embarrassed. Don't talk about me in the bathroom.
No, I see the little silver going from the outside and lining up itself and looking pretty sexy for something that's silver.
I'm glad we're on radio. Nobody can see me blush. Because
hey,
I just blushed.
Is that true? You can see her blush. Come on out there. Have you ever been with Rochelle?
You can't
know
see me blush.
What she's like blushing, and you know for a fact that she's blushing now.
Works for me.
Which is so she picked up on the lyric, was not now, when?
That's right. If not now, when?
Yeah, don't put off what works for you. And I think that's what this other song that we sang earlier. Don't wait. Don't put it off.
It's so easy to say, and if we do put it off, there's so many reasons that it's scary. I mean, you have to move out of our prescribed patterns. We have to let go of control. Because one thing about patterns is they go, oh, this is the way it works, and I'm going to keep it working that way. But in a sense, it can only work when it supplies you with the juice to move into the now.
Well, that's what we attempt to do in our program, is to break the trance by using these different characters and looking askance at things and twisting words and breaking words. My hope is to help you break the cultural hypnotic state that we're in, where we just kind of mosey along, walking down sentences, you know.
Yeah, but those people don't even listen to our program.
Both of them?
Both of them. Huh. I'm constantly reminded, when I don't resist what is, what's in front of me, including myself who's in front of me, it changes. It's only my resistance to it that keeps it there. It's a catch-22, because here you are wanting to stay the same and wanting to change at the same time. In order to change, you have to let go of being the same.
That's what forgiveness is. That's why he said to us, just keep forgiving. In other words, every time you find yourself beginning to bring a past frame of reference as a way to interpret or filter through which to screen what's happening in the now that's distorted and colored by grievances and unforgiveness and resentments and unresolved inner conflicts, and you start putting that onto your present, you've just messed it up. But the simplicity of it is, all you have to do is be willing to suspend your point of view. You can have it back.
All you have to do is...
Well, I didn't say you have to suspend your point of view. I said you have to be willing.
It's difficult. And what you just said about being willing, that works for me because it does get you past feeling able, capable, or I can't possibly do that kind of thinking.
Well, yeah, we're not very able or capable of doing that at all, left to our own devices. But fortunately, there is grace. There's love's divine. Let's just hear just a little of this because it's so much of what we're trying to say.
Then the rainstorm came over me. And I felt my spirit break. I had lost all of my belief, you see. And realized my mistake. But time threw a prayer to me. And all around me became still. I need love, love's divine. Please forgive me, now I see that I've been blind. Give me love, love is what I need to help me know my name. Sanctuary. And I felt my spirit fly. I had found all my reality. I realized what it takes.
I just wanted to give you a little taste of Seal singing Love's Divine. There is that divine love where we have co-housing with the soul. That's what the divine love is. It's co-housing with the soul.
That's very sweet. I like that. Works for me.
Good. And we've worked with you. We've loved being with you. And this is Inside Out. And we've loved being with each other most of the time.
Yeah, this is after 40 years. You think you can be together and not have moments where you bump into each other and rub up against each other.
There's at least a 51% or over the not having a good time. It seems to be in charge. But with that, I think we need to say goodnight. Before I go, Rochelle, I want to ask you a question. What do we need to remember?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. Works for me.
Works for me. Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.